They introduced me to Jesus. They introduced me to the gospel. He did.
Wow.
And he captured my heart. Believing in Yeshua as the Messiah is the most Jewish thing that we could do.
Well, shalom and welcome to The Chosen People. My name is Bobby Walter, and I'm serving here with Chosen People Ministries in New York City. And we're coming to you from Midtown Manhattan, and just very grateful to be here. And you might be asking yourself, okay, why is Bobby talking and where's Mitch? Well, Mitch Glazer, our beloved Mitch, is enjoying a well-deserved sabbatical for the next few weeks. And you guys are kind of stuck with me, but I have good news for you. We actually have a guest co-host, and it is a very good friend of mine. His name is Derek Blumenthal. So Derek, welcome to The Chosen People.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby. Good to be here.
Derek actually serves with Chosen People Ministries, and he's been on staff with us for how long?
7 years now.
7 years.
Officially. Wow. I've been involved with Chosen People in one way or another for 16 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I kind of go back quite a ways.
Yeah. At least that far.
Yeah. I remember when Derek and I first met, it was a dark and stormy night. I think you and your wife, Deirdre, had just found out that you were pregnant with your firstborn.
That's right.
Your first daughter.
You just turned 18, so that's how long that's been.
That's right. Okay, so 18 or 19 years now. So we are not getting old, but these kids are getting old.
That's right.
We've got a really good series, a topic that is near and dear to both of our hearts. And we are going to be talking about over the next few weeks, Yeshua, Jesus's heart for his own people, for the Jewish people, his burden for Israel and the Jewish people. But before we jump in to that particular study, I thought it would be good, Derek, for us to maybe like get to know you better. I thought it would just be good to kind of like maybe have you share a bit about how you came to faith, how you were raised, because Blumenthal, I mean, that doesn't sound Italian, right?
Isn't, in fact.
Yeah, Jewish believer in Jesus, Messianic Jewish believer in Jesus. Maybe we could just kind of like jump right in.
Yeah.
All right, so why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came to believe in Jesus?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's one of my favorite stories to tell because it's a story of rescue, right? That's what our testimonies are. It's a story of rescue and new life. So I was raised in a non-religious Jewish home. My family is very culturally Jewish, as is very common, especially with American Jewish families. My Jewishness was always very important to me as far as culture. I wanted to be around and I wanted to do Jewish things with my family because that's what my family was doing. Mm-hmm. So we would be at my grandparents' house for High Holy Days and, you know, weddings and bar mitzvahs, mm-hmm. and just the fun stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have much of a biblical training at all as a kid. It was around. I had a Bible in my house and I would pick it up just out of curiosity on my own. But it was just a very typical kind of secular upbringing that I had in Southern New Jersey.
Oh, okay. South Jersey. All right. Yeah. That's good. Good. Because I'll
Philadelphia born. If we're going to say that to start.
Okay. Go on.
We made our way to South Jersey like so many Philadelphians in the early 80s.
Yeah.
And so where I grew up was about, you said Italian. It was funny because I grew up with about 99% South Philly Italians.
Gotcha.
And then a small Jewish community, maybe some Irish folks around.
Yeah.
Growing up, I always had an idea that God existed, God was real. It never really occurred to me to challenge that idea. It just seemed, from my earliest memories, incredibly obvious.
But nothing in the home, like your parents didn't kind of like
not much, no.
model any belief in God or anything, with any conversations about God, anything like that?
Not so much, not so much. We were around certain things with my mom's family. We were sometimes at church-related things. With my dad's family, we were at synagogue-related things, certainly not on a regular basis. It was around family events and holidays. So we would get together for holidays, and I knew that it was a Jewish holiday, but no one ever really taught me what they were about. No one ever said, hey, this is something from the scriptures that you can look at and learn about. That didn't come till much later. However, coming out of junior high and into high school, I went through what I think is very common to many young people. I went through this kind of social upheaval where my friends, who were my childhood friends and were very, very close to me, they weren't my friends anymore. Hmm. And to this day, I couldn't really tell you why, except maybe that the Lord was orchestrating it for a particular purpose.
Well, they probably got to know you as well.
You're right. You're right. They got to know me, and then they left. And so, I didn't know this was going to be so roasty. I started to really doubt myself. And this is, 13, 14, 15 years old in that range, right?
Which
is
tough age.
A delicate time for any teen, right? It's you're figuring out who you want to be. It was at that time that I met a handful of high school students my own age. This was a new group of people who I observed them together. They were friends together already. And there was something about their relationship with each other that I noticed that was different than just other kids my age. And it was something attractive. They had a very genuine, very deep friendship that I could see even from afar. Hmm. And little did I know that they were all believers in Jesus. And they invited me into their friend group, and they became my closest friends, like family. Mm-hmm. And still to this day, I maintain close relationships with many of them over decades. But through our relationship, through our friendship, they introduced me to Jesus. They introduced me to the gospel. And it was my observation of their life and their faith that intrigued me so much to want to open the scriptures and look at it myself. Mm. They were all involved with a high school ministry called Young Life. So it was the summer of 1999, August 1999. I went to a Young Life camp up in it was Saranac Lake, New York. Mm-hmm. And it's this remarkable place. And it was there that I got to hear the gospel like A to Z, really, for the first time, in a way that confronted me with its reality, where I knew I had to do something with this information. It was more than just hearing it, considering how it applies to my life, especially as a Jewish person. Mm-hmm. Like, where does this fit? One particular day, we were at summer camp. It was August 5th, 1999. Happened to be my birthday. It was my 16th birthday.
Wow.
So I was born, and the way I say it is I was born and reborn on the same day. Mm-hmm. I remember I was praying and I was asking God to show me the truth. Show me the truth. If Jesus is really the Messiah, I want to know, because I want it. I don't want to just know it. I want to do something with that. And he did.
Wow.
And he captured my heart. I remember feeling just like this, the overwhelming presence of God, mm-hmm. in a very palpable way. Mm-hmm. And I gave my life to him, and I started a new life then. I was 16 years old, of course. So I had a lot more to learn about life general.
Yeah.
But I did it now in step with him. And I fell in love with the scriptures. Mm. And so I came home, over the next months, and I'm discussing my faith with my family.
Yeah. What was the response?
Sure. Well, you would think maybe it might be difficult. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it was. As I pursued my faith, what was most concerning to my family was that I was taking my faith seriously. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even so much the Jesus thing. It was more like, I'm going to Bible studies at 6 a.m. Before school. Yeah. Like,
are Bible you... thumper kind of accusations.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I was, mm-hmm. I was, and I was very zealous, and I the Lord had to smooth me out, as he does with so many new believers, right? But I began to just fall in love with the scriptures, fall in love with the Messiah that I saw jumping off of every page of the scriptures. And in that, began to explore and understand my own Jewishness, my own Jewish culture, my own traditions that my family and community were already taking part in, and seeing Jesus in all of it.
Yeah, wow, that's fascinating and encouraging. So, I mean, to summarize, you as a young teen in high school, what compelled you, what first captured your attention was the real love that you saw among this group of your peers who were believers and followers of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Were any of them Jewish or no?
They were not.
So they were all Gentile believers.
Yep.
And they loved you in, basically.
Yeah.
And you go to the camp. Camp ministry is very important.
Very important.
You and I are involved with Chosen People Ministries, camp ministry. It's called Camp Kesher every summer. It's wonderful. We see the Lord move. And yeah, people come to faith. So when you come to believe, you began to explore more and connect more with your Jewishness as a follower of Jesus in ways that you did before Yeshua, before Jesus.
Exactly.
So what did that look like? What does it mean for a Jewish person as they follow Yeshua to connect more with their Jewishness?
Yeah, good question. Well, let me tell you a quick story. So it was my freshman year of college. I'm at a Bible study, Christian Bible study. It's not messianic. There's no real particular Jewish influence or bent to the study. So they had a guest speaker who was a Jewish believer. This was the first other Jewish believer in Jesus I had met in my life. Mm-hmm. I'd been a believer about 3 years now. And he's talking about Messianic Judaism, which is a term I had never even heard.
Wow.
And he's talking about living life as a believer in Yeshua, as a Jewish person, and maintaining a Jewish identity. Mm-hmm. So for him, that meant being part of a Messianic synagogue. Again, nothing, something I'd never heard of before. Living on a rhythm of Jewish life with holidays and Sabbath and maintaining Jewish identity. And he talked about the fact that the scripture shows us that becoming a believer in Jesus doesn't mean that we relinquish our Jewish identity.
Mm.
In fact, quite the opposite. He said that believing in Yeshua as the Messiah is the most Jewish thing that we could do.
Mm.
And I was so not only impressed, but I was so excited. Meanwhile, this person has later on went on to go on staff with Chosen People Ministries, yeah. And now we get to work together.
Yeah, yeah, we love him. He's the best.
So incredible. Yeah. So I went up to him afterward, and his name's Ari. And I said, Ari, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for bringing this today. I want to learn more, you know. And he told me all about this, and it set me on a path. I knew that day that this was my calling for my life. And it was like the Lord was showing me, this is who and how you were always meant to be.
Mm.
And he was building that in me.
Wow.
So now I serve not only in a Jewish ministry, reaching Jewish people with the gospel, but I'm the senior leader of a Messianic synagogue in Norfolk, Virginia, where I live. And we maintain a community and a culture where Jewish people come to faith in Yeshua, Jesus is the Messiah.
Mm.
And that doesn't change who we are as Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if anything, it brings deeper and greater meaning to the kind of Jewish practice that we experience.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It makes sense. If you're embracing and following and are transformed by Yeshua, Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, it would make sense that a Jewish person would connect more with their Jewish identity
as a result. Yeah, and I see it over and over when Jewish people especially come into our community.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on a search for the Messiah already, maybe. The Lord has already kind of had them on this path, and they get to meet other Jewish believers. I see it time and time again. They're like, this is what I've been looking for all along.
Mm-hmm.
And it more or less seals the deal between them and the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible thing.
It's good. Good stuff, man. Thank you so much, Derek, for sharing. And thank you all for joining us. But just want to encourage you that if you're not Jewish, you, just like these young teenagers who impacted Derek's life so significantly, you can also make an impact in sharing the gospel with genuineness, with love, with care, with intentionality as well with the Jewish people in your life. Well, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. And we're very grateful that you're checking us out and that you're listening. And we would love to hear from you as well. So if you can, check us out online at chosenpeople.com/radio. If you would like to email us, the email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. You can also leave us a voicemail message. Just call this number, 914-288-1466. That's 914-288-1466. Now, also, if you reach out to us, whether you send us an email or visit the website at chosenpeople.com/radio, we want to give you a copy of one of the chapters from Mitch's book, Jewish Missions in the Shadow of the Holocaust. And we want to give that to you for free. So again, just check us out, chosenpeople.com/radio. Send us an email, radio@chosenpeople.com. Or give us a call and leave us a message, 914-288-1466. So thank you so much again. God bless you. And now we're going to close things out with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha. V'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.